Hello, this is the Library Talker, also known as the Library Lady. I'm Library Talker at librarytalker.blogspot.com, and I'm the Library Lady on Podomatic, where this podcast is currently hosted. So today, I read this one, I finished it a couple of days ago, and I've had to take time to process it because I can't believe I actually read the whole thing, because... So I think you can kind of get a hint of where we're going from this point on. It's been sitting on my TBR for a little while, and I finally was like, okay, you know, whatever, I'll read it. It is Chosen by Shade Owens. It's from a series called The Immortal Ones. It's the first one. The premise, as always, the premise is interesting, but no. So apparently... we've got our future, and 40 years-ish previous to the setting of this book, we were the country, we were the world, we were fine, everything was good, everything was golden. And yes, there will be spoilers all throughout this thing. Everything was beautiful, and then someone invented a serum that made people immortal. And then people who got a hold of that serum to sell it made it priced way out of range so that only the uber rich and influential could get a hold of the serum to live forever. Now, how they knew they were going to live forever, when it just came out and they hadn't tested 100 years later to see if it was still working, I don't know, but they're going to live forever, whatever. And because of this huge thing, and there were uprisings, and there was boom, bang, bam, we went from 8 billion people to only 2% of that, which I'm not going to do the math on. But basically, humanity destroyed itself. The people who got the serum took themselves away to like an island for a while to wait while everybody else fought over crap. And then they came back and took over and said, this is now the way things are going to be. And well, that could be an interesting idea, right? You know, except this is like the person studied dystopias and then took a bunch of stuff from each dystopia she read and put it into this thing. So, especially heavily, heavily leaning on Hunger Games, and the first and second books, heavily. They're not in districts, they're in divisions. Each division has a certain thing that they do. Some of them are just animal husbandry, that's all they do. Some of them are just this, some of them are just that. For some reason, there's one division that's all about food prep. That's all they do. That's their job every day, is to prep the food that is sent out up to the people who have the immortal serum, these elite whatevers. And so they prep in their plate and then they send it up, which would make it seem not very tasty because it wouldn't be very hot, but whatever. And so all of these divisions happen, and we have, we have... Our star character is Silver, or Silvastasia Blackwood. She is living in Division 9. And in Division 9, they grow things. They grow foods, they harvest crops, that's what they do. Except for it doesn't feel like they go very far. Like their town surrounds a tiny little set of gardens, and that's what they take care of. She doesn't grow the information very well. It doesn't feel very... well built, but that's what they do. And they're looking forward because on the 17th, after their 17th birthday, until they're 24, the people can enter a lottery system. And this one's supposed to be a positive one. It's not supposed to be the Hunger Games scary lottery. No, it's supposed to be really positive. And basically, one zone out of every out of the 10 different districts, sorry, divisions. Each year one zone is picked, and then they pick, they give off 20 names, and all those people between 17 and 24 line up, and then, there's something that happens where some sort of diamond is, like, they say some sort of phrase and throw the diamond, and whoever the diamond lands in front of is chosen, and they will get the serum, and they will get to go up to Olympus, which is what they've renamed it. They get to go to Olympus, and they get to, you know, get the serum and be immortal forever, and yay! And it is working for Hope, and as long as you keep working, then you can qualify, and yet after 24, you don't qualify anymore, so what's the point of working? But they're gonna, no, it's still hopeful, we still have to keep working, it's for the entire community, oh my gosh. And they don't want people reading, but Silver has a thirst for knowledge. Her grandma remembers all of this wonderful stuff and has been telling her stories about televisions and coffee makers and appliances and all this wonderful stuff that used to be around in the way old days, 40 years before. And so Silver has a lot of knowledge about these things. She's well-read, she's literate. And they come to her town. Oh my gosh. And they come and they go to pick her, except for the diamond lands exactly, I mean exactly, between her and one other girl. And Silver says, I don't want it. Go ahead and take her. And they all go, wait, what? And she's like, I don't want to. I want to stay with my family. I don't want to be immortal if I can't be with my grandma and my evil biatch of a mom who for some reason is very abusive, and you're never quite sure why all of that happened, but I mean they kind of try to explain it, and so they're all like, wait, no, she doesn't want it, okay, if you don't want her, we'll take this one instead. And they take the other person, and then, okay, that was weird, and people are staring at her, and it's like, I don't want it, for a billion, and then a couple of days later, this chariot, because it's all horse-drawn, we don't have cars anymore unless you're super uber rich in Olympus, this chariot comes back and says, nope, you got to come. And they grab her and they take her even though she doesn't want to, which causes the people in the town, however many, like 10 people, I don't know how many, you don't feel the population, you don't feel the size, there's no it causes them to rebel, and she's taken out of there, and the gates are closed, and then she's taken in a chariot, and a few hours later, she's at Olympus. And here's part of my problem. It is supposed to be this big world, right, where there's big segments. This is the farm area, this is the animal husbandry area, this is the make the food area, whatever. And yet, they can travel all the way from Division 9, all the way to Olympus in a day in a horse-drawn carriage. Really? Are you kidding me? And so she has no idea what's going on. Every time she asks a question, they're all like, shut up, yeah! And so they just go here, go there, and they list, they have tablets and they have computers, and she's all like, what is that? And they're like, shut up. And they take her up, and it turns out, and spoilers again, it turns out they pick women, mostly women, some men, but mostly women, between the ages of 17 and 24 to be breeders. Here's your Handmaid's Tale moment. Dystopian, let's just borrow that one. Those women are there and they're supposed to have a baby every single year that they're there until they're 24, or until they're, you know, have a baby during their 24th year. Once they turn 25, they're out. Turns out the serum makes people infertile and they still want babies. And not only that, but even though they have the babies and they raise the babies, when they hit 13, are also put into this work area. So the breeders have to work, and for some reason it's folding freaking clothes and putting them in boxes. That's all they do is fold these five or six women that are there. That are the breeders, because again, not a huge world, just five or six women who are the breeders, one of whom is pregnant, that's it, and the other three of them have already had one, and two of them haven't gone, whatever. They just fold shirts and put them in boxes. Fold shirts, put them in boxes all day long. Fold shirts, put them in boxes. I don't know where the freak these shirts are going. We are never really told that, but they fold shirts and put them in boxes. We do know that at Silver's home, everything is rags and old, like, potato sacks that have been, well, there's one person in town who sews them into half-ass dresses, pardon my French. So where are these clothes going? I don't know. And then from 13 to like 17 or whatever, these, I think they're called prototypes, which is stupid. The kids are made to also work, and they're boxing and shipping and moving. So they've limited communication. Everything's horse-drawn carriages and wagons. So they go, they have these people called defenders who are their army military keep people with some sort of strange can burn you up by pointing it at you, like extreme taser thing or whatever. They go with the people in the wagons to each division district thingy and pick up all whatever was done the day before. They pick it all up, or at the end of the day, they pick it all up and they take it all back to this facility near Olympus, where it's all redistributed and then sent back out. So they pick it up at the night and they redistribute in the morning. Here's the thing. Well, there's a lot of things. So Silver's act of rebellion somehow has spread. And much like in the second Hunger Games book, The Catching Fire, we have a problem. And Silver is leading this rebellion that she doesn't even know about. And it turns out she was supposed to be picked because for some reason the man who came up with the cure for the infertility thing is also her father, because he was initially going to be a breeder and then he came up with it. I don't know. It gets very confusing. She has one night in a really beautiful room and then she goes back and she has to convince everybody that they're you know, we shouldn't be rebelling, we shouldn't be acting out against anything. And it now she has to go on a tour of all the divisions, and tell them everything's fine, I'm totally happy, I got the serum, I'm going to be immortal, everything's great, it's lovely, it's wonderful. And she's supposed to convince all of these other divisions about this, like in Catching Fire, except there's no freaking technology. There's no shared knowledge. There's no TVs. There's no movies. There's nothing shared. And each division district thingy is walled and has doors, apparently. So they don't cross-communicate. How do the people in district division 10 and 8 and 7 and 6 and 5, how do they know that there was a rebellion in division 9? How do they know? There is no freaking way. She has not established, the author, Shade, he, she, whatever, has not established a communication system for there to be a problem. By the way, this entire book takes place in about like 6 days. Huge rebellion. Everybody's... And yet, no communication system, almost no time to get anything told around. All of her town almost completely is murdered, much like District 12 at the end of Catching Fire, beginning of Mockingjay. It makes no sense. And the further away I get from this book, the stupider it seems. I just don't know how to work with this when it's only been 40 years. It's not, you know, 75. So we still have plenty of people who were alive. They killed and murdered everyone, but she's done no, like, don't you know? And why do you keep asking questions? And of course it ends on a stupid cliffhanger. She and the other breeders who were, you know, starting to kind of fight against the powers that be within the breeding area, prototype area, of what, maybe 50 people? I mean, seriously. They're then hauled off to a train, and the train is going super fast. But where would the train be going? I mean, seriously? We've already established that you can get across the entire freaking place in like one day by horse-drawn carriage. But suddenly we have a high-speed train. And they literally take each woman off and throw them out the doors. As the train is moving, as their way of dealing with the discipline, we're going to get rid of these women by one at a time, and every few miles or whatever, however fast this train is going, and like 15, 20 minutes, and then throw another one out in 15, 20 minutes, and throw another one out. Okay. So she's the second one thrown out. She gets thrown out. She hits her head. She's twisted her arm or dislocated or something. This is the very end, by the way. So, yes, spoilers. And she somehow survives the entire fall, is able to get up and start looking around, and somebody shows up. And who is it? It's the person who left a little note at the beginning of the book that she found in a train that helped start all of the questions. The exact same person who's like, oh, well, we're going to bring you on in. You're the reason that we're finally going to win this thing. You're the spark for everything. And it turns out that there's a whole rebellion, you know, like District 13. There's a whole rebellious community all by their own that had been trying to prepare and plan to fight back against the immortals of Olympus. And you come with me. And that's how it ends. And it's like, are you freaking kidding me? I mean, really. And we have President Kane, much like President Coyne. And President Kane, in the middle of the book, is the one who sends her on this whole tour where she's supposed to tell everybody that everybody's fine. After her father died, she took over 2 years before. Okay, they're immortal. So how did he die? Either Immortal Serum is an immortal or he was murdered, but we're not going to discuss that. We're not going to go over any of these other things. Where the freak the shirts go? Why the heck do we have a place that's only for making food? And obviously it's not going to be hot wherever you want it. Not only that, but the food comes within like 5 minutes of ordering it. So where the heck has it been all day long? How is this communication happening? How is the rebellion happening? This author tried to make her Katniss, and she is not. She is not Katniss. She is not anything like Katniss. She is not anything like Offred. She is not anything like the characters from Brave New World or 1984. She's not a one that you can get behind. I don't know. Some people have rated this in 5 stars and 4 stars sitting on Goodreads, and I don't get it because I just don't like her. I don't like her. I don't like the situation. I really, really hate the world building because there is no world building. It's not big enough. It is not designed well. You can't see the numbers. You can't see the sizes. You can't see anything. Why the freak is there one place that just does food preparation? And it's not even like the division right next to Olympus. It's like the second or third one away. And the food isn't sent to the other divisions. It's just not. They eat the leftover crud that's whatever's like the people who make, who grow the tomatoes and the potatoes and that kind of stuff, which is Silver's gray area. They eat the rotted or overripe stuff. That's what they've all eaten. And they get like one meal a day. One meal a day. Everybody gets one meal a day. One meal. They get dinner. That's it. They don't get breakfast. They don't get lunch. Only the people at Olympus get more than one meal. She's supposed to read this note in the bathroom. When does she go to the bathroom? Like 36 hours later. What? Who wrote this thing? Anyway, on a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being police tape, avoid your life. You know, you will want someone to pay you back for the hours that you messed in the world based on this book. Five being amazing, two being eh, three being eh, and four being eh. This is a one. This is no, I'm sorry. And the more I think about it, the more questions I have, the more upsetting it gets. And obviously you can tell tone of voice. I am really not happy with this book. I thought it would be great. It had a good premise. It had an interesting cover. But again, the cover looks like a freaking bird, like a mockingjay. Really? Are you kidding me? Just the more I look at it, the more I think about it, the more I just go, grrr. So, yes, this is my bit of a rant. It's, again, by Shade Owens, Chosen, the first book in the Immortal One series. Please, please stay away. Just save your time. And there are sequels, and no, I'm not going to read them, even just to mock them. I want to be able to enjoy the years I have left before I miss out on the immortal serum that, how do you know, that makes people immortal? I have no freaking clue. Anyway, yeah. So, yeah, Library Talker, librarytalker.blogspot.com, Library Lady on Podomatic, where this podcast is hosted, and please stay away from Shade Owens' book, Chosen, the first in the Immortal Ones series. There you go. Bye. I hope you have a great day.